You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Well, I've heard that song many, many, many times. Sang it a few times myself many, many years ago, and I still sing it, but I've never heard it done more beautifully than that. Thank you so much for a fabulous presentation of a profound, simple truth. Jesus loves me, this I know. I hope you know that today, because He does, whether you know it or not. But if you know it, it makes a big difference. What an honor it is for me to stand in this holy place, named after such a wonderful person, and to be with the president and Miss Dorothy. Memories go back a long, long way. I always find it quite interesting how things that we call them consequences happen, or they just happen to be a coincidence, I'm trying to say. When I met Benjamin, last night I got here, I drove in from Houston. And so as I approached the campus, first of all, I got lost. It's changed a little bit around here since 1966. But anyway, I got lost. But as I approached the campus to stay on campus, I made a right turn to go down on William Fleming Court to see where 50 years ago almost, it was that long ago that I was a student, and Beth and I lived there underneath an incredible couple, Tommy Lee and his wife, who you may know quite well. But I wanted to see it. Well, it was gone, the place where we stayed. It's much more beautiful than that place. The first place I stayed in Fort Worth, you could answer the front door, sit on the side of the bed, wash dishes or brush your teeth. All you had to do was just turn north, south, east, or west. It was somewhere back over here. I think it was one of the professor's houses. I'm not sure. But anyway. And so I stopped in front of it, and I called my wife, and I said, well, I'm here. It's changed. And walk in here a while ago, and Benjamin comes up, and he lives where we lived. Same address. Now, the coincidence of that, you know, to see the place, and now a guy that's been to China. You know, I never got out of Texas, but gone all the way to China and comes to William Fleming Court. And I had a thought there. And I told him a while ago, I gave him a little quickly on this. And I said, I'm not sure I'm going to tell her or not, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I had a great prayer meeting there one night. I pastored 150 miles from here, a little church, and I was told when I went there that everybody in the county had been saved that was going to be. And we saw 16 show up somewhere that first year and get come to know the Lord. But I had a lady in my church that God will give all of you at least one person wherever you go that I think the Bible called the thorn in the flesh. I can tell some of you have had one of these. Well, we had such a person there, and nothing would ever go right. Nothing. And that was 158 miles. My tithe was bigger than my salary, so I was paying them to pastor their church because I worked at Sears down here at Seminary South, it was called at that time. My wife taught school, and this lady thought I was paid too much. When I go back and think of some of those sermons, I probably was. But anyway, I went down there on a Saturday to visit. She gave me the name of four people. I visited three. Next morning at church, she stopped me and she said, would you see those four people I asked you to visit? And I said, well, I saw three. Well, which three did you see? I told her, she said, this is what I thought. The one that really needed the pastor to come was the other one. And I just had that carnal thought. I've had enough of this. And in those days, we didn't have school here on Monday. I think it was so you had a day to write your resignation letters if you went out and served on Sunday. And so I was going to just simply resign. Came back in, as we did every week, after 1 a.m. in the morning, went to the to William Fleming, pulled in. Beth always slept on the way back because she taught school over in Ulis Bedford and had to get up 5:30 in the morning. And my mother and dad were on the telephone. As they always were. I was an only child, spoiled brat, preacher's kid. They were on the phone. My daddy stuttered very profusely. He came to Southwestern. Everybody here tried to talk him out of being a preacher. But from the time he stepped in the pulpit till he stepped out, he never missed a syllable. All of his 60 years of preaching, people come hear L.D. Morgan preach because he was so precise in his speaking. But anyway, he was on the phone. He wasn't in the pulpit, so he stuttered. He says, son, did you have a good day? I said, terrible. He said, well, tell me about it. So I told him about this lady. I said, matter of fact, I'm going to resign tomorrow. I said, I've already thought what I'm going to write in my letter, but I'm not going back. And he said, well, has Beth gone to bed? I said, yes, she has. He said, can you find a place to pray? And I said, yes. He said, well, you pray. And here's what I want you to pray. He said, Ruth, are you listening? My mother, she was on the other phone. She said, uh-huh. He said, number one, he said, you thank God that you had a place to preach today. He said, that's what God called you to do, right? To preach? Yes. Well, thank God you had a place to preach. He said, would you do that? And I said, yes, sir, I sure will. He said, then I want you to pray one other thing. He said, I want you to thank God that you didn't marry that woman. Now, that was a long story, and you may say that's crazy. You just be in the ministry for 25 years, and it will become more relevant to you as the days go by. And stay there. Stay there. They're everywhere. But God is in our midst. Now, this morning, I want to share something with you that's very, very much a sermon to me. As God put this together in my heart, I feel very, very strongly that I have a word from God for you today, and I want you to listen to me very closely. It is our custom at Sagemont to stand for the reading of the Scripture, and would you let me read you four verses out of 1 John chapter 1, a very intimate letter. That's a father to the children. Much emotion in 1 John, but listen to this. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was, listen, manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now would you be seated and let me share some things with you. I'm calling my comments today, Divine Entrapment. That's a crazy name for a sermon, Divine Entrapment. One of the things that's very important for every one of you that are students and professors and are believers in Jesus Christ is to understand that you better never forget whose child you are. The problem with most Christians that claim to be Christians, they go about and they forget whose children they are. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're more than sinners saved by grace. We are heirs according to His promise. The mission statement of our church is we're to be living proof of a loving God to a watching world. People are saying we've heard all kinds of music, we've heard all kinds of preachers, just not sure we've ever seen a Christian. One of the things that excites me every week when I stand in the pulpit is down here where Miss Dorothy's sitting right now is a man that the first time I met him, he owned the biggest restaurant in our city, and he said, he wanted to cater to our church. He said, I'm not a Christian and I'm not going to be one, but I sure would like to cater for you. I said, well, that's strange. Tell me that, you know, that's not good business, maybe. And he said, well, I'm just an honest guy, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to be one, but I have the best food at the best price. And I said, well, I'm going to suggest that you cater to the person who makes that decision, but now you've got my curiosity up. I said, why are you so adamant that you're not going to be a Christian? He said, you really want to know? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, because I don't want to be like the Christians that eat in my restaurant at Sunday noon every week. Now, this guy would have got voted least likely to ever get saved. I mean, he was a leader of the mafia in Pasadena. I mean, he was a professional gambler. I mean, you name the sin. I'm not going to tell you all the story, but I did ask him why. I said, well, tell me about those people. He said, first of all, he said, they got no common sense. He said, I've got 300 chairs, and there's 500 of them standing at my door at 12:45 every Sunday, and they want to all sit down at the same time. I cannot figure out how to put 500 people in 300 chairs, and I've asked them for their suggestions, and they don't have any either. He said, number two, they're the most negative people I've ever seen in my life. He said, well, I'm seating some of them, I'm listening to the others. Well, we wouldn't be here, you know. Look at there, the Methodists got here, you know, they're already finishing up, you know. But that preacher we got, you know, he came in, he just can't land the airplane. You know, the drums are too loud. Didn't like the music. I mean, on and on and on. He said, you know, they're the most negative people I've ever seen. I said, well, what else? He said, well, they're rude. He said, they're rude to my waitresses. Said, ask any of them. Ask any of them. They're extremely rude and said, I have 15 salad dressings. Well, what kind do you have? Give them all 15. Well, you have any such and such? No, we don't have that one. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Just bring me something else. He said, then they hold hands, shut their eyes, and I guess they're praying, but he said they're meaner after they pray than they are before they pray. Because it continues as the food comes out. I said, well, anything else? He said, yeah, they say they're givers, they're stingy. He said, ask any waitress in any restaurant in any city, when is the poorest tipping meal and it's Sunday noon? You check it out wherever you eat. When the Christians show up. I said, well, Ernie, that's his name. I said, anything else? I won't end this conversation. He said, well, yeah, their kids are out of control. Now that man sits, after 2.5 years, he finally got around some folks that understood that they had become divinely entrapped, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. I want you to understand something today. It is not about what you learn up here. It's what you've got in here. When we sing, let others see Jesus in you, or let others see Jesus in me, it's more than a good song. It's a theological absolute. If God does not live in your life, I do not care how you do it. I do not care where you go and what you decide to do with your life. You have missed what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We get our heads together in all kinds of situations where we discuss how to do things. I read a book the other day of a young man who, and it's one of the bestsellers today, where he states early in his book, and tens of thousands come to hear him preach every single Sunday, and he makes this statement in his book, God never called me to do this, I just volunteered. I'm here to tell you, young people, if God has not called you into the ministry, you better check out of here, because the day will come when the only thing that will keep you in the ministry is to know that God called you out. And the way you got called out was Christ in you began to move in your life, and you couldn't do anything else but say, dear God, yes, wherever you lead, I'll go. We look around and we see here in the passage of Scripture, he says, we've heard the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've touched the Lord, and now he dwells in us. And our responsibility and the ministry we all have in common is that Christ is in us. And for Christ to be in us, it changes everything we do. It changes the way we act at the restaurant. It changes what we do when the neighbor's garbage spills over into our yard. It changes the way we act at the PTA and the ball game when our children or our grandchildren are called on for a foul that we absolutely were looking at it with the binoculars and they did not do it. But they were humiliated in front of the whole crowd and we go absolutely bananas. You know, if you stop for just a minute and analyze what it means to be a Christian, it's pretty simple. Number one, God comes into your life to live his life through you. And in order that it can be very, very simple, he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of me. Okay? But there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom. They know how to do it, and they go to all kinds of conferences to try to find out, how can I do it? How can I do it? How can I get the order of service right? What kind of music? All this kind of stuff. But they have no wisdom. The wisdom is from the Lord. And the Lord says, in order that you get it, I'm coming with it. Because when God is in you, you begin to see things as God sees them, and you quit trying to please all the people, and you say just, dear God, I want to please you. This worship service is about you. My mother-in-law lived to 98. Most beautiful woman I believe I ever laid eyes on. I'm just praying that my wife is 73. I'm hoping she gets 98, she'll be as pretty as her mama. She had her high-heeled shoes on 2 weeks before she died. And she was in our senior adult ladies Bible study class. And we started singing praise music at church. Well, boy, I mean, the ladies got together, and their messenger to me was through my mother-in-law. She came to me and she said, Brother John, the ladies want me to tell you that they don't like that praise music that we've started doing. And I said, they don't? I said, nope, they don't like that. I said, well, I want you to tell them something. I have a good relationship. I'm not arrogant, okay? These ladies, I know and love them, and I talk to them every Wednesday night, and all, you know, the senior duck. Now I am one, but back then I was a little bit different. I said, you go tell those ladies that the reason they don't like that praise music is because we're not praising them. I said, now, when they're 90 years old, if we had them stand on Sunday morning and sang happy birthday to them, they would tell every bunco game and Monopoly game in all of Southeast Houston about what a wonderful worship service we had last Sunday at our church because I stood up and they sang happy birthday to me. Well, we had a big laugh. The music didn't change, but we just had a good time. Listen, folks, when you go out to minister, whether it's in China or Houston, you better lift up Jesus Christ. And if you get caught up in any kind of a movement, traditional, contemporary, you name it, you better take the name of Jesus with you. And you better understand it's not what they see in you and how you act on this platform or how the people act in the pew. They're not coming to see us. They're coming to see Jesus. And if they don't see Jesus, it's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. If we're not careful, we'll begin to plan everything we do just like we were in the secular entertainment world. And it doesn't matter what style. That's not the issue. The issue is it's not about us. We're not to act like, look like, talk like, accept the things of this world. Jesus is Lord. And if you can't take Jesus with you, you don't need to do it. If he would not do it, what would Jesus do? I preached a series several years ago, you know, what would Jesus do? You know how that's WWJD. I preached a series on WDJD. What did Jesus do? You know, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, what did he do? How did he deal with the prostitute? How did he deal with the blind man? How did he deal with the church that wanted to become worldly? How did he do all that? It won't change. It'd go right back to the way it was. You know, the ministry of Christ in this world, now listen to me very carefully, is nothing more than his ministry in you and in me. 2,000 years ago, in John 14, Jesus said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. Today, he that's seen us should be able to say, I've seen the Father, I've seen Jesus. Because Jesus is in us. It changes everything about us. There's nothing the same any longer. We baptize. If we don't baptize every service, we feel like we're backslid. If we don't baptize, we have extended prayer meetings. And when everybody gets baptized, we sing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And the four-year-olds to the 90-year-olds sing at the top of their voice. And the people in the baptistry are just rejoicing. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Is he there? Is he there? If he is there, what is the evidence? What is the evidence? Not how gifted you are. Not how nice-looking you are. Not how Hal, your personality is so awesome. Is Jesus in your life? If so, where is the evidence? Where is that word, that look, and that touch? Where is that moment when you reach out to the people that are far beyond your walls and touch them? Dr. Patterson was so gracious in his introduction, and I can honestly say to you, you know, when Paul said, "For me to live is Christ," what did he mean by that? He meant when you saw the Apostle Paul, if you would get a close look, he would stand the close-up test, and the closer you got to him, the more of Jesus you saw. And today, we put this over here. In other words, we like to say, don't do what I do. Do what I say, not what I do. Remember that? Don't do what I say, do what I do. Where'd that come from? We ought to be able to say, I'm following Jesus. If you'll follow me, I'll get you to Jesus. When the fishermen were called, you remember when Peter, Andrew, James, and John, what did Jesus say to them? Follow me. If you're following Jesus, that's the reason you're at this seminary, I hope. Because God led you here. And God led you here to understand the knowledge of the Holy Word of God and go out of here and not be willing to compromise the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. It matters not what our generation holds to be in common. I mean, we've got a preacher in Houston that will tell you in a heartbeat, I don't even use the word sin. It's not in my vocabulary, my soul. What's it for? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and whosoever cometh into me will not perish. We are here to show people Jesus. And to see Jesus, we've got to confess our sins, acknowledge our sins, repent of those sins, and follow him. And when we follow him, everything we do will be different from all the others. There's 1 billion people on the earth that say Jesus lives in their life. Or they say they're believers. You wonder, what do they believe in? Well, I believe in God. So does the devil. Well, I believe the Bible. So does the devil. But where's Jesus? How do the people see you in your community? As Dr. Patterson mentioned a while ago, our church has been fortunate to grow and all that kind of thing, and many things happen in the Christian world. But there's two things that God has done in our church the last 5 years that I've rejoiced over more than anything. The Houston Chamber of Commerce gave Sagemont the Business of the Year Award. Now, is that not a spiritual award? The business of the year goes to a megachurch. You know what they call them. What are they talking about? They're saying that organization impacted our city for good more than any other organization in Southeast Houston. And the school district followed up and awarded the church the Volunteers of the Year Award from the Independent School District. Next Saturday, if you'll come to Houston, you will see hundreds of people at Thompson Intermediate School, which is right across the street from our church, putting a whole irrigation system in. Last year, we redid their gymnasium, their football stadium, power washed their buildings. The kids went home on Friday from an ugly old building and came back with an extreme makeover the next week. Well, who decided what to do? The principal of the school? The community's shaking their head. They're thinking, and Christians did that? I thought they just messed up the community. I thought they just blocked the traffic when we're trying to go fishing on Sunday. You know? But you see the key, y'all, listen, we're not all equal. You know, my IQ is about 20/20. Okay? Now, we're not all equal in intelligence. We're not all equal in personality. But let me tell you where we stand on level ground. Christ in us is the hope of glory. God wants the world to see him, and you and I are their only possibility. To know who Jesus was, birds and the creation, and sunrise, sunset, that shows us who God is. But who is Jesus?
He's the one that went about doing good. He's one that reaches out to the hurting. That's what it's all about. And our divine entrapment, as I'm calling this message, is that I have been bought with a price. Jesus said, I will come live in you if you will follow me. And if you will follow me, you won't have to listen to what others are saying, nor will you emulate what they're doing. You will just simply let me have my way in your life. And wherever you go, others will see Jesus in you. Listen to me, those of you going on the mission field. If people are not seeing Jesus in your life in Fort Worth, Texas, you forget about going to the uttermost part of the world. Don't think I can't win anybody in Fort Worth, so I'm going to go to the uttermost part. If they don't see Jesus here, they're not going to see it there. When Sunday comes, are you serving the Lord in a church in this city? Every church in this town needs you to serve. Where you can give a word, look, and a touch. But for you to go about and just simply say, but I'm going to get the knowledge and I'm going to come with 35 ways to build a great church. You're going to see the day come when you're going to say, what in the world am I doing? It didn't turn out like I expected. God looks at us. And as Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wants people to come to our churches and say, I saw Jesus there today. I call every guest in our church on Sunday afternoon. I go home, I call for about 4 hours. You can't believe my response on the telephone. You're the senior pastor? You calling me on the phone? You don't know what this call means to me. I ask them about their children, their teenagers, on and on and on. You know what they tell me? From the time we got out of our car, we felt special. Because the people that work in our parking lots are not just going like this. Can't go down this road, you know, got to go over here, you know. When they step out of the car, somebody helps them get inside the church. But you know what they're thinking? I'm trying to get them to Jesus. I talked to a lady, one of our greeters, last week. She's 74 or 5 years old. I put my arm around her, and I said, Charlotte, thank you for what you do. She's a greeter at one of the doors. And she said, oh, Pastor, I love what I'm doing. She said, "No, you know, my children, I won't tell you the name of the church, but it's one of the most reputable churches in Texas. She said, my children go to that church, and I go see them several times a year. She said, I've been going for years. She said, I walk in the church with them. I go to Bible study with them. She said, Pastor, I have never been spoken to by any member of that church in more than 15 years and dozens of trips. You follow Dr. Patterson around, or you follow anyone that travels around where they're not known, it'd be hard to follow him. They know him everywhere. Follow me. You go in the church, nobody speaks to you. Until you speak. Then they all won't talk to you. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You ought to make sure that everybody gets that word, that look, and that touch when they come there, because many of them have never been looked at. They haven't been spoken to, and they haven't been touched. And no telling when. But that word, that look, and that touch is not from you. It should be from Jesus. You are welcome in this place. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. We have been entrapped, young people. We have been entrapped. We are so much slaves of Jesus Christ. And wherever he leads, we've got to follow. Make sure that you understand the day you got saved, you got what you needed to spread the gospel. Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Now, the knowledge you get is going to help you, but the message is not going to change. How can people see Jesus in you? That's the question you've got to ask. Wherever you are and whatever you do, has anyone today seen Jesus in your life? I hope so. I hope so. Because if so, every day with Jesus is going to be sweeter than the day before. You be faithful over a few things, and God will make you ruler over many things.
But the divine entrapment is, don't get trapped by what the world is doing. I do not mind telling you, I'm 73 years old. I do not mind telling you that I am very concerned as to how much the church is getting in every area from the world. We want to be like the world. And our goal is to reach more people. My question is, for what? Reach them for what? Well, we just want to count them. You know, that church across the state, they're up 200 on us now. You know, we got them. Let's have another dog pony show. John Bassanio is one of my mentors. By the way, get you a mentor. Two of my mentors are in their 90s. Bill Thorne. Bill called me the other day. He said, I've gotten so old now, John, I can remember things that didn't even happen. That's good, isn't it? On my way up here yesterday, Stuart Morris, Stuart Title Company. If you don't know him, their company probably owns your house if you have a house. Stuart talked to me for an hour. He's one of my men. I asked him a lot of questions. He's 94 years old. And I told him I was coming to Southwestern. He said, well, I'll be praying for you. And he said, by the way, he goes to Second Baptist Church in Houston. He said, by the way, he said, you know, I like to come to Sagemont and get my cup full about three times a year. He said, could you hold me three seats Sunday and help me get from my car into the building? That's the kind of conversations I like to have with people that have walked the walk. They don't just talk the talk. They're not trying to build their own kingdom. They're trying to lift up Jesus. And if I be lifted up, he says, I'll bring people to me. Don't you worry about how you look. Don't you worry about if you're not Mr. Personality or Miss Personality. You just make sure Jesus is living in you. And wherever you go, the world will be touched. Don't be a slave to this world. Be a slave to him. He will never disappoint you. You'll never have to apologize for what you said. I wonder if I came to your ministry, to your church, if you're a pastor, if I read the minutes of your business meetings, your deacons' meetings, your staff meetings, your committee meetings, would I see Jesus in those? Or would I see a bunch of egos on parade? Would I see not iron sharpening iron, but hard heads, button heads? What would I see? Will you stand the close-up test? Not ego, religious, but a servant like Jesus was. My message to you today is simply this. As he is, so we're to be in this world. The only way that's going to happen is for Christ to be in us, living his life through us. If you will allow that to happen, your days in the ministry will be beyond anything you've ever experienced until you step inside the gates of heaven. And may you then hear, well done, my child. Enter now to the joy of the Lord. This is what you helped me do. When he chose us a people of heaven, you were a part by giving that word, that look and touch in Jesus' name. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.